The after party starts
right now. Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as usual, is my good friend Nate. What's happening, dude?
Not much, man. We are nearing upon Daredevil, Kingpin, and yet another new affiliation coming into the game, and I'm just excited to get my hands on them.
Yeah, I can't wait personally. I think they're going to be some really fun models. I think the Criminal Syndicate is going to be a very interesting affiliation to play with and against. And I think that teams like Wakanda are going to have some success against them. And I think that could be pretty interesting. We'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, looking forward to that. They're coming out when you're listening to this, so it should be tomorrow from when you're listening to this. And I guess when we're recording it as well. So,
yep. Pushing Nate, close to the deadline.
Yeah, pushing close to, you know, it is what it is. We just wanted to wait and see if there were any more spoilers that would come out. That's what we're going to say anyways, is that that's why we're waiting. We did get one interesting bit of information, and that is the Storm panel to play. Did you read that, Nate?
I did give it a good read through, and she feels like a different version of Iron Man to a degree, right?
Interesting, because I thought she sounded like a different version of Doctor Strange.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So,
well, with only a 4-dice strike that has a wild effect, that's energy, the first thing that kind of comes to mind, for me at least, was Iron Man, and then she kind of has stealth and replacement of her... of Iron Man's invincibility thing going on. So she kind of has a defensive ability. She's got the same add 2 dice to an attack action, not just a single attack, same as Iron Man with his Friday AI. So that's kind of the first reaction that I lumped her in with.
So I like that take. I think that's a solid take. For me, it was more that her leadership that she comes with, she's the leader of the X-Men Gold that they mentioned. Like, I need to see the wording on that, but that sounded very supporty, and then it also sounded like she had some other support abilities that could grant defensive buffs to her teammates, which, like, that's how I read the information that they gave us. So,
yeah, because I think her leadership is a little bit of both of those things. Granted, we don't know how far a character has to be placed within one of another character.
Exactly.
And how much that ability is going to cost, because surely... movement like that is going to cost power to use, and how the cover thing is going to work. So, yeah, there's a lot to be determined, which is, I think, the point of these panel to plays. They are that little next time, find out more kind of a thing.
Exactly. They are definitely a tease, to say the least. But she sounds really interesting, and I'm excited to see her card. I hope we get more of that. And real talk, though, are you going to try to fashion a mohawk on her?
I am not. I am going classic Storm. I think I'm going to go with the black suit. It betrays me a little bit just because I know, like everybody else, I'm going to be painting exactly like they're out of the 90s cartoon. But after Kingpin and Taskmaster and Gamora still haunts my memories, I think I'm looking forward to not another all-white costume.
You've had enough white. I feel you. Yeah, I think I might do something... I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I might go with like a silver. I think that might be kind of cool, but I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. And yeah, so we got that. So that was pretty cool. Check that out on House Party Protocol Facebook page. We posted that, so you can check that out. Or obviously the Atomic Mass Games website also has it, but you know, our Facebook page, come on. So next up, one of the things I want to talk about before we get into the real meat and potatoes of this episode, which Nate, who are we talking about once we get into it?
We finally get around to talking about one of my favorite Avengers with Vision and our first case of rogue agent with Bucky Barnes.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about those guys in just a couple of minutes. But first, I would like to talk about the TTS League that has been going on. As anyone that's been listening to this for a while would know, I played in it. Nate has been playing in it as well. And the final week just wrapped up for me anyways. Nate, have you played your final match yet?
I have not yet, but I also haven't talked to my opponent yet. So that might be an indicator of whether or not we even play a final match, but we'll see.
Well, there you go. So there's that. And one of the things I wanted to talk about with this is, one, thank you to Dizzard and all the people that had put this on. It's been fun. I kind of just jumped in, you know, shooting from the hip, and it's been an enjoyable experience. I finished with a record of 3-3. Probably could have gone 4-2, but, you know, mistakes were made. But that's neither here nor there. I want to talk about my last match, though, because I thought it was very interesting. And the overall theme of the whole thing. So for me, as most of y'all know, I don't know if you know or not, but I went with a Web Warriors list to start off with. And at first I wasn't too enthused with how it was going. And anyone that's been listening to this podcast for a while, and Nate, you know this about me as well, I'm not the biggest Peter Parker fan, right?
Mm-hmm. Everything from the sculpt to the rules.
Right. So I've got to say that within his, quote, home affiliation, Pete's not bad. He's not bad. Like, I don't like him in Avengers. I don't like him in many other places. But within his home affiliation of the Web Warriors, he just kind of works. And I've had multiple instances of him in this league of just Pete doing work. And that happened again on this final match of Peter went up and grabbed the Kree Corps. Granted, super lucky dice roll, got the Kree Corps on the first turn, right? Tanked some damage, ran away on the second turn, tanked some more damage, ended up getting the core dropped by Miles on the other team, made him drop it, and he was dazed. Okay, fine. I field dressed him, which is the first time ever using field dressing, and then med packed him or something like that, and he didn't go down the rest of the game and just was a battery for so many other things that I did in the game. It's one of those things where I say all of this to anyone out there. The biggest thing with this game, if you're wanting to ramp up your play, if you're wanting to go from a casual player that just enjoys the stories and stuff like that, like, that's how my normal play is. Like, just have fun. Let's see if we can make this Seven Sons of Cinnabis pop off for a real cinematic moment or whatever. You know, let's have some fun. Like, that's kind of my normal mode of play. But I think my advice to people that want to ramp up their play is to find an affiliation or find a core group of characters that you can learn and learn them inside and out and understand their strengths and their weaknesses and understand how to play them, figure out what situations work best for them, et cetera, et cetera. Find those characters and stick with them for a good while. And that's how I think you will become a better player. You know what I mean? And a more competitive player if that's something that you're interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was illustrated to me throughout the course of this league. So I started playing Web Warriors. First 3 weeks played Web Warriors, mixed it up, went with a Defenders lineup, got rocked on that one because I had started to figure out Web Warriors, and then I switched to Defenders to try to kind of play with those. The new, you know, ooh, new stuff.
Yeah, new shiny.
Exactly. And while it's okay to play with the new stuff, I'm not telling, you know, I'm not trying to poo-poo playing with new stuff. Like, new stuff's awesome. But all I'm getting at is, like, I think that learning characters and learning the different situations that you can put those characters into, it comes with practice. And like with anything, practice makes perfect. And if you want to take your gaming in Marvel Crisis Protocol to the next level, I think maybe sticking with something is the way to do it. What do you think, Nate?
Absolutely. If you were wanting to, and this really goes for almost any game or any deck or any list, you want to identify some pieces that you ultimately first enjoy. You want to enjoy what you were doing, the play style that you are committing to, and then you just start to getting some of those reps in to really learn how that affiliation, how that deck, how these cards are going to affect your gameplay, and it's then by learning from the mistakes you make, or you can kind of then see, oh, hindsight, maybe Thor should have used his power to get that guaranteed throw off instead of doing the For Asgard charge. And so once you really become aware of everything your characters are able to do, you're able to crack this full potential, whereas the new stuff always has that new shiny appeal, which is awesome, but you're also going to sometimes forget about a mechanic that you have in your arsenal otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. And to my opponent this past week, thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. And I ended up winning, so 3-3 on the league total. And it was, yeah, just I learned a lot about the Web Warriors throughout my play, and I think that they're an affiliation that I see myself wanting to play in a lot more, which is interesting because, as we've talked about before, Nate, I never thought that that would be my play style, but maybe it is now.
Yeah, man. And that's one of the great things about Marvel Crisis Protocol is I think it's able to easily stretch people outside of their normal comfort zone because, again, the rules really well written, pretty straightforward. Obviously, there's deeper strategies and stuff when it comes to the groups like Web Warriors, Wakanda Wave, and all that kind of stuff. But you're able to be like, cool, I really want to go play with those spider people because I love the Spider-Verse and all that kind of stuff. And it's easy enough to be able to grasp what your team wants to be doing, how they're doing it. And really, it seems like you've played a total of 6 games with the Web Warriors and have gotten a good grasp on them. So just probably, let's say, an hour a game after 6 hours of playing with the Web Warriors, you know how they work. You know how they function. It's a really easy transition there, really.
I wish my games only took an hour. I am way too deliberative to take only an hour. What's wrong with you?
Never mind then.
So another fun little tidbit that I learned in this last game, specifically about the Web Warriors that I find to be fun, is so I'm deploying my models, right? We're playing Extremis and Kree Corps, Alien Ship Crashes, but we're playing on 17 threat. So I deploy, I had the 3 main spider people and then Strange and Wong. That was my list. And so I deploy kind of Gwen, Peter, Strange, and Wong kind of like center left, if you will. And then I put Miles towards the right. And my opponent mentioned, he goes, oh, wow, overcommitting to one side, I see. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And what I ended up doing, and I think that the Web Warriors specifically allow you to do this a little bit, is an easy reposition. So I ended up going, setting up like I was going left. He had a bunch of slower characters, a Doctor Strange. Ghost Rider is a fast character, but if he's having to do 2 movements, that's good for you. So like Ghost Rider, Strange, Wong, Miles, and Nebula. So like, you know, just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I completely shifted on my first turn and went over to the opposite side of the board, essentially, to capture the other point. And I feel like that strategies like that kind of throw your opponent off guard, but the Web Warrior specifically allow you to do that reposition, which I find to be very interesting and enjoyable. But you just kind of have to understand that not every affiliation is going to allow you to do that. So deployment becomes a lot more important for other affiliations than it is for maybe them. Anyways, let's move on to the real meat and potatoes of this episode, Nate. And which character would you like to talk about first?
Let's dive into Bucky Barnes. I feel like he's going to be the quicker of the two to talk about.
I kind of agree with you. So Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, first of all, one of my favorite characters. Like I really like when they brought the Winter Soldier into comics. Like I love what they did with him. And at one point he actually took over the mantle of Captain America and was kind of a different version of Cap, which I really liked. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about him in game. And before playing any games, Nate, what were your thoughts on the Winter Soldier?
I thought he was really cool. He was coming out shortly after the Guardians came out, but only had three members. And so I thought his rogue agent ability was going to be super helpful, especially month by month as we got these new affiliations that weren't maybe fully fleshed out yet. And I thought that his basically his seeing red tactic card stapled onto his character kit with his range 5 attack would be something very prominent. And also at that point, I think we hadn't seen a lot of range 5 just kind of normal strike basic attacks. So he was going to be a really good back objective holder as well.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair assessment. And I think that's what kind of most people thought when they saw Bucky was a back objective holder, you know, not going to be super mobile. He has the Hydra tactics, which allow you to place within one of another allied character as long as that allied character is in the range 2, so it's kind of restrictive. And then he had the, you know, it's some interesting stuff. But I'm with you. I think my initial reaction was kind of sit him on a point and let him just shoot his 4-dice attack. But I also had the thought of it's a 4-dice attack, so meh. Like, it's not great, you know?
It's also a 4-dice attack going into the typically strongest defense in the game.
Right. Physical on physical. Now, one of the things that surprised me once I got him on the table was that he can be pretty mobile. Like, the Hydra tactics actually works pretty decently, which I thought was nice. And I also thought that he can ramp up some decent attacks. Like, the assault rifle can spike decently with a couple of good rolls. Like, so it's not terrible, but he's still kind of just kind of meh. Like, what surprised me was just kind of how meh he ends up being. Like, I know I just kind of like contradicted myself in a sense, but like, he can do some cool stuff, but especially now, especially with the amount of characters that we have out, like, he just gets left behind.
Yeah, one of the things that I think surprised me is how split his kit is. The assault rifle and his Got Your Back, which is that seeing red ability, when one of your other allied characters is either dazed or KO'd, he can use that power, make a free assault rifle attack out of activation. Really strong, range 5, hold him back, let him pepper fire out there. But then you have his ability like the Spetsnaz training that wants him to be within range 1 of enemy characters so that he can get rerolls in defense and attacks. The Hydra tactics wants him up close and personal. And his Red Fury attack is actually quite strong, but again, requires him to be within range 2. And so he kind of just has this split kit of maybe it's meant for him to be able to play both sides of the battlefield decently well, but now we have characters that are especially good at that frontline job like Valkyrie or at the backline job like Rocket or Hawkeye.
Yeah, I think that you nailed it. It's a total split kit, and what it does is it creates a character that doesn't have the tools to do either thing effectively. You know, like that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, he can't stay on that back line and just assault rifle people the entire time because you're not really going to accomplish what you want to do. And especially given certain crisis setups. So on a D shape, he's going to have a hard time if the battle moves in a different direction. Right. And so, like, I think that has something to do with it. And then also on the straight down Main Street one, you know, he can get to that. He can stand on the home base gamma shelter. What is that? E? Yeah, E. He can stand on the home base gamma shelter and then shoot to the middle one. But at the same time, it's like it just 4 dice against a Venom. Like, he's rolling 4 defense dice. Like, you might chip damage into him, but then he's just going to heal it on his next turn anyways. So it just doesn't feel good. But then you put him face to face with someone like a Thor or a Venom for a Red Fury, and one, it costs you a ton of power with 4 power. And two, you're going to get the clap back and probably clap back hard, you know?
Yep, Winter Soldier is not likely to survive a full round of Thor attacks, and nor should he necessarily. He's a three-threat character, pretty mediocre on the defenses and even his stamina. But yeah, it looks like there was kind of a want for him to be able to do range stuff, which he's able to do with the assault rifle. And I give the assault rifle, I think, a little bit more credit than you do, mostly because of they got your back. Even if you're not able to deal damage, being able to assign bleed to an enemy character mid-activation is really strong.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I do like the got your back part of that. My only issue is a four-dice strike, in my experience, which, you know, is what it is, but has a harder time building up your bank of power to where you can use his Hydra tactics or got your back consistently.
Mm-hmm. So I guess with that, we've sung his praises. We've put him down in the dirt a little bit. Let's talk about affiliations. Obviously, Rogue Agent, he can help any team build that, but what teams want him, or what teams does Winter Soldier want to be in?
I think he works well in Avengers because getting the discount for his superpowers, I think, helps. And Mark pointed out to me the other day that we do this thing where we focus on the affiliation bonus as our barometer for where a character should go. And while, in my opinion, I think that that's an important factor, I think that that's 60% of why you want someone in an affiliation, in my opinion, because you want them to be able to get the most benefit of being in an affiliation. I do agree that with Mark in that looking at what affiliations want to do will also should come into play. So with that, I think Avengers is a decent one for him because Avengers can kind of play that kind of dual game. They can play the little cagey, you know, they can play a little standoff, do some range, pick away at people. They can play that game, but they can also play that get up in your face game. And Winter Soldier being able to Hydra tactics around the board to friendly characters, I think, can see play in Avengers. And it's important to note that both Hydra tactics and Got Your Back are not limited to once per turn or anything like that. You can do it as many times as you have the power. And
absolutely,
I think that that's something that we kind of can overlook on his kit because we're so used to seeing powers that say this superpower can only be used once per turn, right?
Yeah, especially for any movement abilities.
Exactly. So I think that Avengers works good for him. I also think that he plays really well with Guardians because, again, Guardians like to play wide. They like to have a lot of characters on the board. At this point, Guardians kind of have everything they need within affiliation. But if you're building a dual affiliation list, throwing a Winter Soldier in there to pair with your Guardians as a character that can kind of sit back and plink away with the Rocket, you know, or if you don't want to take the Rocket and Groot combo, maybe. Or, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that
he fits really well into Guardians gun line.
Exactly.
Which is, you have Star-Lord in the back, you have Rocket in the back, Winter Soldier being able to add another range 5 pew-pew that helps keep the Guardians who like going wide, which usually means that they're not always necessarily able to bring Ronin or Gamora. Being able to have another pseudo-Guardian makes going wide a little bit easier.
It does. And the final one that I think that he really fits into, I think there's others and I'll let you touch on them, but the one for me that I think that maybe we overlook a little bit with him, but when he first came out, it made sense. But now I think we overlook it. And that's Asgard. I actually think that he fits really well in Asgard because one of the things that hurts him is certain conditions. Like a shock condition is going to just be brutal on Winter Soldier. Well, in Asgard, he can use that affiliation, drop that shock condition, and then also Asgard has a lot of frontline characters, has a lot of characters that can soak damage, that can get in there and do the dirty work. And what Winter Soldier allows you to do is to play off, play back, and have a character that can do that range 5 attack, sit on one of those points, score you a consistent point while your opponent worries about the more dangerous characters. And then if you need to, you have that flexibility with him to go in and Red Fury on somebody if you need to. And you could maybe even get there through a couple of Hydra tactics if you've set it up right. So, So I think that he plays in Asgard. What about you? Do you have any other specific ones?
No, I think you hit all the main ones with between his like Red Fury, Hydra tactics, and Got Your Back, all things that he wants to be able to do when it comes his turn. He's able to be kind of this flexible character. He needs that power to remain flexible. So I think any of these affiliations that require power spent to use the affiliation bonus, Winter Soldier is not going to be the best fit in, because he himself has... He's not necessarily a power-hungry character. He definitely benefits from things like the Avengers. But I think any of these more passive things... to a degree, maybe this Web Warriors would be a decent fit in. They enjoy going wide and playing that kind of objective game with some decent mobility. And extra rerolls on his defense dice are never going to be a bad thing.
Definitely. I will counter the Web Warriors one and say that I think I would rather have Ant-Man for 3 threat than Winter Soldier. But that, you know... That's just a playstyle thing, maybe, but yeah, I could see it though. I could see it.
But Winter Soldier allows you to not take Venom or Peter Parker.
Valid point, and that's definitely a consideration. But like I said, I'm
that's that rogue agent thing. Yeah,
I'm coming around on Pete, man.
Yeah, no, you, as you should.
Yeah, I'll stop it. All right, so one quick thing that I think we did definitely. Somewhat tear him down and maybe a little bit build him up. But one of the things that I just think that I guess jack of all trades, master of none would be kind of how I would categorize Bucky.
Yep. He's very similar to Iron Man, where his kit is just this split kit of, hey, I can do things on the back, I just can't do them very well. And hey, I can do things pretty well up front, but you're going to be missing out on part of what he's able to do.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing that I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention is any ability that gives him extra dice. So Thanos's Death's Decree and stuff like that kind of stuff will benefit pretty much any character, but it takes a meh Bucky and turns him into a pretty good Bucky. If you're able to Death's Decree his assault rifle and Death's Decree Got Your Back, that becomes very interesting. But again, I don't think I'm going to play him in a Black Order list, but maybe if I've got Thanos and some kind of other combination, that makes things a little more interesting. But that's something I'd have to play with a little bit, but I could see that having some play.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Before we go on with your favorite question, let's talk about the tactic card that specifically mentions Winter Soldier, and that's till the end of the line. And it's Winter Soldier and Captain America each have to spend 2 power while within range 1 of each other this round. So you play it at any point during the round, and they cannot be moved by enemy effects, and then they combine their defense values when defending against physical or energy attacks. Do you think that if you're playing Winter Soldier with Captain America in Avengers or whatever, do you think that this card is critical?
It is not critical, but I think it is valuable. Cap naturally wants somebody to be paired up with that he can bodyguard for. I don't think Winter Soldier is necessarily the best target for those bodyguard effects. But if you are playing a central objective that is going to be worth more points... maybe something similar to this new objective we're seeing with Kingpin, where it's a secure that's worth more than just that 1 point. Those secures become that much more important. Having 2 characters on it is going to be extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this card is only going to see an uptick in value as we see more secure objectives.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's necessarily critical, but I also think you can set your list up such that it would see play. And if Gamma Shelters, if you expect to see a Gamma Shelters, well then putting this in your list makes a lot of sense.
It really helps you be able to secure that middle objective. If somehow Steve and Bucky both end up on the back objective, whatever the case may be, getting to not just ignore throws and pushes, but even things like the Mind Gem and MODOK's Bow to the Will of MODOK, a very useful card.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So go ahead with your favorite question.
Yeah, so where has he landed as far as better, worse, or stayed about the same?
He's gotten worse, and through no fault of his own, in that his kit is okay. His kit is perfectly okay, but he's gotten worse because we've got so many more options in the game. Rogue Agent is a very useful tool, but it is not so useful of a tool that I'm going to take him over someone that's already in affiliation and that gets to use those cards.
Yep, and I don't think he and Taskmaster, who is also now coming out with the Rogue Agent keyword or ability or whatever you want to call it, certainly has made some of his appeal. And I do think that was part of Bucky's main appeal was his Rogue Agent ability, helping round out these teams or affiliations that don't have everybody that will end up being in that affiliation. So I think maybe here in a little bit when, I guess Criminal Syndicate already has this wide array of roster that they're able to lean back on from previous releases. But down the road, there will always be, at some point or another, a release that's not fully fleshed out, which will make Bucky shine a little bit. But as you said, there's the need for Rogue Agent is not nearly as big as it used to be.
Right. And again, it goes back to he is what he is. And he's a character I still like. Like, I want to be clear that so far, AMG overall has not put out a character that I don't in some way like, at least now at this point, right? Like, I definitely had my criticisms of Spider-Man to begin with, but that is what it is. But like, Bucky has just fallen behind, and I don't think this is a discussion of power level. Like, I don't think we can say that it's a power level discussion, right? Like, I don't think that there's a power creep discussion at play here. I think it's just that we just have so many options now that taking Bucky and what he does and what he brings to the team, it just doesn't really work within the framework of what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? Like, I'm kind of riffing a little bit, but I think that makes sense.
I think so. I think the main point of what you're trying to say is getting across.
Okay. So, but he's a character I like. So it's a character that I think that you can make work and that you won't be disappointed when you play him. I don't think you'll be disappointed in him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that you generally these days have better options. So with that, I also want to go ahead and say sorry to the suits out there. I forgot to post that we were doing this today to get questions. So I apologize. We'll make sure to get those questions for the next show. And also, real quick, while we're in the middle of this here, Nate, what should our code word be for the giveaway this week?
Ooh, giveaway is Kingpin at the moment?
It is.
Let's say Magia.
Magia.
M-A-G-G. Is it A-I?
I-A.
Is it I-A.
So,
Magia,
M-A-G-G-I-A, that is your secret code word to get a bonus entry into our Kingpin giveaway. So make sure to send us a message, not a comment on the Facebook post, but a message with that keyword, Magia, M-A-G-G-I-A, and you will get a bonus entry into our giveaway on our Facebook page. Check the post. It should be the pinned post on our Facebook page. If you like that, like our Facebook page, leave us a comment there, send us a message for the bonus entry, and also make sure to email us at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com with any questions you have. Send us a message on Facebook. And also, if you're interested, check us out on Patreon. You can get access to our Discord, where we have some really nice, fun discussions over there and talk about list building, talk about all the new stuff that's coming out, and try to just generally have a good time. And if you're interested in that, we do that. And thank you to all the patrons over there. And I'll talk about that more here in a little while. But now, Nate, let's go ahead and talk about our favorite Synthezoid Avenger.
Absolutely. So Vision, and I guess what is the first question you always like to ask? Where are we going in? First impressions?
Yeah, obviously.
What a cool character. Was kind of my thing. The beam attack, 5 dice, beam 4, gets a power for every single enemy hit, with possibly more with a sap power. His big attack, physical, 7 dice. Not only do your opponent not get to roll crits, but the crits that they do roll don't count as successful. And then his phasing between forms, getting to increase his physical and energy defenses up to 5, respectively. I was just super excited to get him on the table.
Yeah, I think you have summed up pretty much everybody's thoughts about Vision when his card was first revealed. And I'm with you, like a range 4 beam attack that for each character you roll against, you're going to gain 1 power, whether you do any damage or not. That's so efficient. From a power perspective, and then throw in the wild sap power on a 5 dice attack, and you're looking at about, I think, 33-35% of the time you should expect to steal someone's power with that. So like, that is so fun, and it just creates a character that you have to account for. And then another character that we got that can create their own power, like, so we have 2 characters in the game that can take an action to generate their own power: Red Skull and Vision. And
Wong.
Well, oh, yep, Wong's the new one. Sorry, I forgot about the new toy. Sorry. Wong can do it too. So we have 3 characters, but we only have 2 that are really, really useful. I'm sorry. Wong is super useful. He wanted to live for me the other night. So I gotta say, I love Wong. So sorry, I forgot about that. Anyways. For the longest time, we only had 2. So don't judge me. I like everything he does. And he brought this new mechanic to the game with the rapid phase, with the phasing. And we hadn't seen anything like that before at the time, where it creates a layer of complication, but it also adds to the depth of strategy that MCP already has. And I really, really love it. And it makes for a character that just, yeah, you've got to like plan. You got to say, okay, there's a Thor staring me down. I think I want to be an enhanced density form. So then you get attacked from somewhere else that's an energy attack. And now it's, well, do I rapid phase to go to phased, so I roll more dice against energy attacks? Or do I stay in enhanced density so that I can soak some of that damage for when Thor comes to attack? So it creates a little fun puzzle that you have to piece together sometimes with how to use his abilities. So
absolutely,
I guess that was first impressions and general gushing over. But Nate, let's get your what surprised you when you first got the games in?
So I think the things that surprised me most were, one, And I said this, my first impression, like, already super excited. I did not realize how beneficial his size 3 medium length throw for 2 power is going to be. I didn't realize how much of a powerful effect that, basically, in Avengers, it's just like, hey, 1 power, size 3 throw, and how powerful that additional ability was going to be. So that's definitely what took me by surprise, because everything else on his kit just kind of made sense. And that was one that I think snuck under the radar for just how powerful it would be.
Oh, absolutely. The calculated trajectory throw he has, 2 power for a size 3 throw, is wildly efficient. And the fact that it's terrain or an enemy character is just, that's just icing on the cake. Because we've seen other characters that just have terrain, and it's still costs effective. But when you throw in the fact that you can do character or terrain for that 2 cost, you put Vision in Avengers, and holy moly, like, that just opens up the world, you know? So
yeah, absolutely.
I guess what surprised me the most was just how much power you can get on Vision and how fast you can do it. That is the one thing that surprised me more than anything, because like I said in our initial first impressions thing, is like, that beam being able to generate 1 power per attack plus the potential for the sap power, like, you read that and you know, well, yeah, he's going to gain power. But then you kind of just start to play with him more, and you realize before you know it, like, you're 2 turns in and Vision has 10 power and he hadn't even gotten attacked yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is just insanity. And I love it.
All right, but what does he do poorly?
Well, what he does poorly is he has to rapid phase or else he will go down. So I guess what he does poorly is defend. Like, he's good at defending when you're able to rapid phase, but if you're not able to rapid phase, if you've used your power, if you don't have any power in your back pocket, well, only rolling 2 defense dice against physical or energy, it's going to be very difficult on you.
Yeah, but I think the one thing that, and I don't think it's that Vision doesn't do well, I think his biggest weakness is player experience.
Interesting.
As we talked about at the beginning of the game, it really just takes repetition, getting to know characters, how they play. With Vision, who only has 2 dice physical defense, which is what really matters for if something is getting thrown at him. And yep, he's not able to rapid phase in response to a throw. So there's going to be times where, sure, you have a Thor or maybe a Captain Marvel sitting right across from you, or just anybody who can throw, really, and you're going to want to start in the phased form so that he's not able to take damage from being thrown or having something thrown at him. And so just being able to kind of figure out when it's really necessary to change from one defense to another to try to prevent additional damage from other sneaky things that you really just can't see unless you've seen it a time or two before.
Yeah, and I think that is what his biggest weakness is the susceptibility to certain effects, and you mentioned throws. I think that's definitely up there. Like, because you can't rapid phase on a throw, it means that you're rolling that 2 physical defense if you're in enhanced density, even though it's like, oh, well, I get, you know, extra dice. Not for that. It says for defense dice, not for dodge dice, which are 2 different things. Uh-huh. So I think that's an important thing to note. And then I also think that another bit of thing where he struggles is with certain objective play. So certain objectives require you to roll dice based on a defense value. Specifically, I'm looking at you, Origin Bombs. You have to roll energy defense to try to flip the Origin Bomb. Well, Vision is going to be running up there rolling 2 dice. And while if there's nobody contesting that, you have a decent shot at it. If there's someone contesting it, you're not flipping that. And if you do, then you got super lucky, and more power to you.
Yeah, that if you're able to consistently get the 2 hits on 2 dice, then more power to you. But no, I think you are correct that is definitely a downside. It's one that if you are the person playing Vision, you probably don't have those objectives in your lineup, so it's not as big of an impact. But it's definitely something to keep in mind if that's an objective that comes up. Maybe Vision isn't the 4-threat character you take.
Exactly. So, Nate, Let's talk now about what affiliations he fits best into. So I'll let you go first.
You know what? I'm going to counter that question with a better question. What affiliation does Vision not go into?
I think he doesn't really play with Black Order all that great because he costs four. They're already expensive. I think that he fits with what they want to do in that they want to kill stuff. So, like, Vision can do that and do it pretty effectively. But I don't know if that's where he wants to be. That's probably the biggest one I would say he doesn't go into. I'm trying to think of the other ones right now off the top of my head.
He goes into everything else, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, like, even if he did fit into a Black Order list somehow, like, he's doing what the Black Order wants, and I guess Black Order doesn't really have as much to offer him except for Thanos being able to up an attack, which is never a bad thing. But obviously the leadership doesn't do much because it's just getting victory points.
Right.
The healthy side, so.
Right. I think that he fits well in pretty much any affiliation. I think that he has some that he likes better than others.
Mm-hmm.
I think Avengers, his home affiliation, is his bread and butter. But I think a close second is Cabal. If you want to talk about power generation, Vision should be right there with Cabal. And the thing that's nice about Vision is he allows you to be a battery to play certain tactics cards, which I really like.
He can be that one guy who's able to play the follow me and not really feel it. Because really, with his throw only costing two, and as long as you are able to save a couple of power for a phase change when he needs it, otherwise go ham on spending power. Get off that Synthezoid Avenger attack. Do what you want. And so kind of with that in mind, I think he's able to plug into the Spider Foes, into the Defenders, into even Wakanda, because he's got this power to spare that he can use to make your opponent reroll, just use whatever these effects are, and all of these effects are useful for him. I think Spider-Foes is maybe the least useful because he's got that beam attack, he can hit multiple people, but he only gets to force one of them to reroll, which is a little bit unfortunate. Still a very powerful effect, but like, you look at the Defenders, suddenly you can make his beam attack whatever you want and apply Hex to every single character that it hits. That's really good. Let's look at Wakanda. Okay, cool. Vision gets to then reroll a dice on each of those attack rolls or on any of his defense rolls, where if he's got the power, he's rolling a minimum of four dice unless you get incinerate on him and all that kind of stuff. So five dice with a reroll? Absolutely.
Absolutely. I certainly love
obviously
it.
Obviously, Guardians, beam attack, extra rerolls with winging it tokens. Seems good.
It seems legit. I even think that he'll have play in Criminal Syndicate with being able to count as two healthy, you know, one healthy character counts as two for the purposes of securing. I think that makes Vision a very interesting Criminal Syndicate character, personally.
Absolutely, because you just, like, even if Shuri's like, cool, I'm going to pew-pew gauntlet you, and then Vision's like, cool, I'm going to go physical so you can't push me, and I'll take that one that one bit of chip damage.
Exactly. And maybe not even at that point, because you still roll two defense dice. Oh, gosh, I love it. So let me ask you this, Nate. So there's a common Vision play that I see a lot, and that is move medium and then do synthesis on his first turn. Like, that's kind of like what I see more often than not. How do you feel about that play? Like, for me, I don't think Vision has a hard time making power more often than not. So I don't generally do that. I'd rather have him more forward to get off a better beam than do synthesis personally.
It depends. So I think if you're doing that, you need to have a purpose behind it.
Yeah. So like an advanced R&D situation?
Advanced R&D. You need to be able to do something with that powerful that – or you need to be able to do something with that power, usually either that turn or at the beginning of your next turn or next round to make that power worthwhile. Because, granted, now Vision on something like Infinity Formula can just move up and sit on an objective and be totally fine, get a little bit of extra power. Never bad to have extra power. But for me, it was it's a very common move to have, let's say, Vision move up, Synthesis, Thor move up, Advanced R&D, Thor gets an extra power, maybe somebody else gets an extra power, and then suddenly Thor is doing a 4 Asgard with a charge, all in Avengers, and is also dropping off Vision. Mm-hmm. So then you got a beam attack halfway up the board along with Thor's strike. So I think if you have a reason to do something powerful with it, or if he is already sitting on an objective and doesn't really have anything else to do, it's a valid turn one play. But if you're just like, cool, I'm going to move up Vision and gain a power, and he's not on an objective and he's not really doing anything else, like, what is that two power doing?
Right. Right. I'm 100% with you. So yeah, I think it's got to have a plan. That's really the point of it. So, Nate, go ahead and ask your favorite question.
Yeah. So, where has Vision gone? Up, down, or stayed the same?
He has stayed the same. And that's because he was already awesome. You know, and nothing has come out that's put him down. Nothing has come out that he doesn't benefit from. So I think that he's just still excellent.
Yeah, the one thing, I think there is something that has kind of come out to a degree that doesn't invalidate Vision, but it just simply makes Vision a little bit weaker against this new affiliation, and that is the Defenders, who are able to swap attack types. It forces Vision maybe at most to spend power to do the rapid phase.
Right.
But like worst case scenario, his Mystic Defense is still a 4.
Right.
So granted, you can probably Mystic Empowerment at the right time and catch Vision when he's low on power and maybe get him while he's only got that 2 defense dice. But that's a very narrow situation. It's not something that is like specifically always going to be wearing on Vision. Like it is like if you look at a character like Captain America, who has certainly gotten a little bit weaker because of the Defenders affiliation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's, yeah, 100% agree, man. 100% agree. So with that, any final thoughts on the Viz?
No, I think he's a very versatile character. If you haven't already picked him up and are just sometimes looking for a good, versatile 4-threat character, Vision can be that for pretty much every affiliation out there. He does work. Give him a little bit of time to learn him and practice with him, because a lot of people will be surprised when I play Vision at how much work he does. It's like, oh man, like my Vision usually just does X, Y, or Z. Get some reps in with him, and I think he will impress.
Completely agree. And with that, Suits, make sure to check us out on Facebook if you haven't already. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast, because, you know, you'll be the first to get this podcast in your feed wherever you ingest your podcasts from. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to subscribe to the Gamers Guild on YouTube to be notified whenever Nate posts a brand new video over there. You've been coming out with a lot of great content lately. And also, you know, just be on the lookout for more fun stuff from us. You know, because we have patrons now, we're able to kind of do some additional things. More bonus episodes are coming out, more stuff. And so, yeah, just be on the lookout for that. And if you want to make sure to be the first ones to get that stuff, make sure to subscribe. And also, if you don't mind, go and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're on. If you have the capability, a review would really help. Because, look, even if you think we suck, like, we at least have, you know, effort and stuff for 5 stars, right, Nate?
Participation podcast.
That's right. You know, I mean, look, if you think that we're only worth 2 stars, I feel like that we could at least, like, you know, get like 3 sympathy stars.
Yep. Right. Like, at the very least, if you think we're worth 2 add 1 star for every time you rolled your eyes.
There you go. Exactly. Or every time that I made a stupid pun. So, yeah. So go please leave us a review and make sure to send us an email at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com if you want to do that. Also, Facebook Messenger. Send us a message through Facebook. You know, we're really responsive over there. And comment on our posts. We love interacting with you guys. Check out our Patreon. You know, we've got 2 tiers, a $1 and a $5. And, you know, if that interests you, you can come hang out and chit-chat on Discord. We'll try to get some games in over there one of these days. And yeah, so just having a good time with Patreon and that stuff. And if that interests you, check that out. And also, don't forget to check out our giveaway. Our secret code this week is Magia. So M-A-G-G-I-A. And that's because that is who Kingpin is, the head of the Magia family in Marvel Comics. Yes, nerd alert. I am that guy. So check that out. And also be on the lookout for our November giveaway because I think everyone's going to be very happy with it. I'm very excited to do it. I don't want to overshadow or like what we're doing with Kingpin. Like I'm very excited to give away Kingpin, but our next giveaway I feel like is going to really be cool. So make sure to check that out and get with us for the Kingpin giveaway by October, I believe 21st is when, 28th is when we're going to end that. So make sure to check that out, get your entry in there. And Nate, what do you have?
Not much, man. I simply will say that be excited for not tomorrow, but rather next Friday, I will have a very special guest for a battle report that I am super excited to get edited and filmed and everything else coming out on the 16th.
Oh, awesome.
So be excited for that.
Who's that special guest, Nate?
You know, I think you actually know him, because finally I will get to shake your hand and beat you down in a game of Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Yes, yes, that's right. Nate and I are getting together for a battle report. I'm driving out to Nate's place, and we're not going to shake hands because COVID, but maybe with some sanitizer.
just like a big glob of Germex on both our hands and like that great squishing noise.
Oh, it's going to be great. There will be squelching. That sounds terrible. All right. Well, this is off the rails, and thanks for listening, everybody. Party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down, Suits.